Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest three-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, online, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy. And now, welcome to the show.
You look marvelous, darling.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to the third and final day of this weekend's biggest three-day weekend online. This is the Marvelous Radio Show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. You're here with the D-Man on this lovely August 9th, Sunday afternoon at 3:02 p.m. Eastern Standard, Eastern Daylight Savings Time. How's everyone doing? How's everyone doing? Well, live Blog Talk Radio to the audience. We're going to have a double dip. I'm going to have some old school and some new school, some old school and new school. Here's a nice oldie but goodie, nice late 80s song dedicated to my late friend Terry Ledford. Here is Crowded House with Don't Dream It's Over. Listen and enjoy.
There is freedom without. I cast you down to the river flow. There's a battle ahead. Many battles all along. But you never see the end of the road by your family. Head on, head on. Go to the end. Go, go, head on.
Thank you.
Glory!
Woo, boy. Yeah, that's something else. That's something else. I had to extend the applause a little bit more because I had to keep my composure for a minute or two. That was the live version of the song Glory from the soundtrack, which was won the Oscar for Best Song from the movie Selma, which is a movie I'm still very proud to be an extra, and you can't see me in it. And I just had to play it today. Well, of course, I had to play it today because this weekend, this past Thursday, August 6th, marked the 50th anniversary of the passing of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which the majority of the film Selma depicted with future Oscar-winning actor David Oyelowo portraying Martin Luther King Jr. And it's hard to believe it's been a half a century since that document was signed and made into law 50 years ago, and I had to play it today. I had to play it today, especially on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. I'm just going to have you all give another round of applause for that. I had to play it today because, well, I didn't know other time to play it, and plus, like, and previously before that, I played the song "Don't Dream It's Over," first played by Crowded House, came out like the fall of 1986, which was my senior year in high school, fall 86, the 86-87 school year, which I graduated in the class of 87, along with my radio partner, my silent radio partner, Marvella Ivory, who was my prom date, and also who graduated with me along with me as well as my late great friend Terry Leffert, who passed away earlier this week on August 3rd at the age of 46. I just wanted to get something that reminded me of my high school years and particularly student council because, Terry Leffert made me feel welcome when I entered student council. It seemed like they had a whole circle of friends that, like, a whole new, we were just new people, Mark Johnson and I, being part of student council. And it was a treat, and it was actually a blessing just to meet new people. A new circle of friends, new pool of friends, and classmates, and I'm glad to be friends with them even nearly 30 years coming up. Matter of fact, it'll be 2 years when our 30th high school reunion will be coming soon in 2017. And I just want to, if I haven't thanked my high school class, I just want to say thank you for being a classmate, teammate, and all around good friend of mine, and I'm just very grateful to go to Southwest, and that's coming from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you very much. I had to play something. It was either that or Mariah Carey's Vision of Love, which is the only song that I have right now of Mariah's because, well, you know, earlier this week, Mariah Carey got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I have to, you know, I mean, if anything, at least admit, I'll at least report about that. So just had to say something about it. She, as well as her new boyfriend and her kids that she had with her former husband, Nick Cannon, were there to celebrate with her. And, you know, I have to say it's about time. I mean, she's been in the business for 25 years, so she definitely deserves it. So I just have to say, you know, congratulations to Mariah Carey on getting your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I want to give out some birthday shout-outs. I want to give a birthday shout-out to a good friend of mine, Mr. Tony Folden, who was my castmate of mine, from the short-lived comedy show Saturday Nights Are Live in Atlanta, or SNL in the ATL. Happy birthday to you. May you have many more birthdays. And also a big, big happy birthday to Mr. Steve Warren, who was one of castmates, which I would have worked in on a film project, but it was, I guess it was shelved, for future time or something. Hope I get to work with you again, and hopefully it will be a film that we will actually make. And matter of fact, I'm going to send you a script soon this week. Sometime this week, and I hope you will enjoy it. I think it'll be a perfect fit for you, and I'll discuss that later after the show. I also want to give a shout out to my agent, or soon to be agent, Miss Gail Everett Smith, and I hope you're listening, and I hope you will represent me, particularly in future voiceover works, whether it's commercials or animation cartoons, wherever it is, as long as I'm able to pay my water bill and electric bill on time. Yes. Yeah, they know that the water bill didn't pay itself, so they know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Also, some other news. I want to give a shout-out to my former employer, the person who hired me at Fox 24, Mr. George Jobin, who, after working 43 years in television and radio, finally got a call from ESPN, and he's going to be he's going to be announcing, I guess, be one of the sport commentators for the Southeastern Regional Little League with fellow sportscasters Hoss and WGXA's own Rick Devin. So congratulations to George Jobin, as well as Hoss and Mr. Rick Devin, who's the morning anchor, the anchor of the morning, co-anchor of the morning show, WGXA This Morning. Congratulations to all three of you. And now, without no further ado, here comes the news. Blue Bell is now back to making ice cream again. The good news is for Blue Bell fans that the South's most beloved ice cream maker is, well, making ice cream again. The bad news is it's not for sale yet. Company Blue Bell confirmed this week that one of its smaller factories has reopened. For the first time, Blue Bell has made ice cream since it shut down production back in April of earlier this year. Back in April, it was forced to throw out 8 million gallons of Listeria tainted ice cream that sickened people in 4 states, the first recall in its 108-year history. Now, Blue Bell is only making a few flavors at the Alabama plant. It isn't saying which one, but instead of going on shelves now, the company is building up its inventory, according to spokeswoman Jenny Van Dorn said. As for when it will return to grocery stores, Ms. Van Dorn said it hasn't decided yet. Still, it's a big deal for a company with a loyal fan base that has grown from its roots in tiny Brenham, Texas, to one of the biggest ice cream makers in the nation. Now, last year, it was the U.S.'s third largest ice cream manufacturer, selling 6.4% of America's ice cream. The news of the reopening was well received by fans on Twitter who have at times sounded like they were describing a long-lost lover, not a tub of ice cream. However, this time they reacted with plenty of caps, lock, exclamation points, and a mix of crying, prayer hands, and heart emojis. Bluebell says it has taken a number of steps to avoid another outbreak, like taking apart machines to sanitize them, cleaning air conditioning systems, and retraining employees. The company has made, quote-unquote, good progress with its other factories, including its largest, which is near its Texas headquarters, Ms. Van Dorf said, but it hasn't decided yet when they will reopen. The ice cream made in the Sylacauga, Alabama factory didn't test positive for listeria during the outbreak, and health inspectors haven't come across problems since, said Jim McVeigh, director of health promotion and chronic disease at the Alabama Department of Public Health. The facility has closed voluntarily, and Alabama officials are placing no restrictions whatsoever on production, according to Mr. McVeigh. Still, he says inspectors will be visiting weekly instead of just a few times a year, and also he adds that everything that has come back as you would anticipate. As far as we're concerned, they're another manufacturer. So congratulations to Bluebell on reopening its factories, even though their ice creams are not for sale yet, but they will be on the stores, I hope, sometime by the end of this year. Hopefully by the end of the summer, because if there's a time to eat ice cream now, this is definitely the time. Just want to say to our Middle Georgia listeners, I hope you're enjoying this sunny weather out here. It's sunny at 91 with a high of 93 and a low of 73 degrees. So it's going to be somewhat cool. Monday is going to be a little bit hotter, give or take a degree. It's going to be 94 degrees for the high and a low of 74. We may have some rain sometime in Tuesday, maybe a little bit of isolated thunderstorms and showers. So definitely, in case you still have your umbrella, keep it handy sometime next week, this upcoming week, but especially on Tuesday. And we'll definitely have more about that for next week. Matter of fact, well, I should say probably next Friday. Because, like, in case you didn't hear yesterday's broadcast, I'm only going to have just a Friday show. Only reason why is because my friend Terry Lifford, my high school buddy Terry Lifford, from Student Council, passed away earlier this week on August 3rd at the age of 46, and his funeral is sometime on Saturday. I don't know what time it will be. I'll probably give you more details about it on Friday's show, but there's not going to be, for next week's show, there's only going to be a Friday broadcast. No broadcast for Saturday or Sunday for next week, just only a Friday broadcast in memory of Terry Lefford. And I have some news from... This is from the state of Georgia. It's really bad, not so good as I thought it would be. Georgia ranked fifth worst state for student debt. This is from Carrie Shepherd from WJXA. There's a study on WalletHub ranked Georgia as the fifth worst state for student debt. The study also showed just over 11% of all student loans in default, and they are the largest non-housing debt for Americans. Researchers came up with their rankings based on a set of ranges for average student debt to the unemployment rate for people ages 25 to 34 to the percentage for students with past due loans. But also, I do have a little bit of good news, at least for Georgia, at least for the University of Georgia, which is my alma mater. Go Bulldogs. Hey. Yes, the University of Georgia was named one of the top 10 party schools by the Princeton Review, which I guess is a good thing. We're more focusing on, we're in the top 10, we're not number one anymore, thank goodness, so we're more focused on our education now instead of partying. Yeah. UGA, my alma mater, was ranked 8th on the list, the highest ranking since 2012 when the school came in 5th. When I was in school, it was number 1, actually, as a matter of fact. Anyway, I'm not saying I had anything to do with that, but we've gotten over. I guess we're more focusing more on the education and less on the party. As a matter of fact, UGA is the only school in the Southeastern Conference to make the list. The University of Illinois came in first, but administrators aren't happy about it. A spokesman from the school said the ranking paints the university students in a false light. I see what you mean. Because, when you're educated, you don't want to be known as the school with the parties and stuff. I understand that, because education is really important. It's very important. Very, very important. Speaking of people breaking down and stuff, you know, I just heard who's breaking up after 4 decades of dating each other. Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog has called it quits. Yes, the 4-decade to 40-year relationship between Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog, famous Muppets, have called it quits with each other. As a matter of fact, they called it quits just before they're having a brand new show on ABC called The Muppets. And it talks about, I guess it's a reality show of The Muppets, where it has as part of the plot of it. Kermit the Frog has now broken up with Miss Piggy and actually dated another woman. And guess what? She's also a pig. Who would have thought that, huh? Who would have thought it? And I'm just saying, Kermit, choose wisely. Choose wisely. And also, in a certain way, maybe it's just me, but, you know, since it is football season coming up, and I just want to say, I probably shouldn't say anything about it yet because football hasn't started. Well, at least the preseason, though, for it. I hope the Atlanta Falcons do well this season because this is their 50th season as a franchise, and they won't have they have a preseason game next Friday against the Tennessee Titans, but their regular season won't start until 14. But I will say, Kermit, choose wisely. Don't jump on the lily pad just too quick. Don't show the lily pad just too quickly, you know. And Miss Piggy, please do not get too jealous. You find somebody, please act more like a lady. Please act ladylike. Don't be giving anybody any karate chops or pork chops or anything like that. But I mean, please don't go ham on somebody. Pun intended. Anyway, just keep your head up. Keep your head up, Miss Piggy and Miss Kermit the Frog. Just keep doing just behave yourselves, okay? Behave yourselves. I don't want to see you, Miss Piggy, and you. I know you got some anger management problems, and it's surprising that you haven't gone to jail for, you know, domestic abuse where you've been beating up Kermit the Frog. I mean, you know, just control your anger. I don't want to hear any stories about you going to jail or anything like that. You know, getting some argument with like Nicki Minaj or Drake or Chris Brown or Rihanna or any of those folks or Meek Mill, any of these people. Heaven forbid, please don't get in an argument with Alec Baldwin. I can just see y'all two. I can see y'all nutshots just ended up on TMZ. Just saying, just keep a low profile. Keep a low profile. Speaking of pork or chops or, you know, just some food, McDonald's new gourmet burger is actually really good. That's basically from their new their new Create Your Taste menu. And it started in Australia, and it's starting to creep up, it's starting to come all over the franchises of all the McDonald's franchises around the country. I even spotted one near my house, near Eisenhower Parkway, Pinona, as a matter of fact. It's not too far from my house. It's like a mile away from my house. They have it right now. I mean, basically, you get your debit card and you pick what you want on your burger. You can pick what type of bun you want. It's basically Mickey D's is encouraging customers to play chef, choosing from a long list of unusual ingredients to build a better burger. Apparently, millennials have been fleeing McDonald's in droves instead of getting their pricey kicks at Pret a Manger at the Whole Foods salad bar. But right now, the fancy burgers that you can pick are only available at New York location so far. But order from kiosk a few feet away from the counter. Now, on a recent afternoon after the lunch rush, there is still a several-minute wait to place an order. But I think it just started right now in Macon. Now some of the places, according to the New York Post, says that a popular place, the McDonald's at the corner of 58th Street and 3rd Avenue, basically, they're able to use touchscreen selecting guacamole or red onion from an array of options. That's just one of the things here. I don't know whether or not if you can get them here in Macon, but I think that's worth a try, don't you think? Yeah. That's something to talk about. That's something to think about, you know. But last but certainly not least, I got to say something about, you know, I'm a sports fan. You know I love my football, especially pro football and college football. I love my Georgia Bulldogs. But I have to say something about the last night's ESPN Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement induction ceremony that was on ESPN last night. Got to say something about it. Are you ready for some football? A cat in the light. The Hubble and Gold Jackets entering football in mortality. Immortality were unmistakable. Last night they had the ESPN show broadcast in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2015 in Tampa, Ohio. Toronto Jerome Bettis, Jake Daniels, the plus. And all of his friends, all of his fans, and Mr. Stewart, all others were there. I'm going to go ahead and quiet down. As I said, there was an endless sea of yellow terrible towers to greet them and the outpouring compassion for the legend who wasn't there. Of course, we all know we're talking about the late, great Junior Seau. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Jerome Bettis, a.k.a. The Bus, headlined the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2015 last night, Saturday night. The sixth leading rusher in NFL history, turning the annual enshrinement ceremony into a de facto pep rally. Bettis grabbed one of the ubiquitous towels synonymous with the franchise at the beginning of his speech and led a chant of, "Here we go, Steelers, here we go." As the capacity crowd to the Tom Benson Stadium, most of them clad in some variation of black and yellow, roared in support of the player that served as the physical embodiment of the team as he helped them lead to a fifth Super Bowl title in 2006. They finally got one for the thumb. And he said, Mr. Bettis said, "I really thought the Bus's last stop was in Detroit at Super Bowl 40, but now I know that the Bus will always and forever run in Canton, Ohio." That was incredible. The euphoria surrounding Bettis' induction proved fitting on a night most of the eight-member class saw their lengthy wait to join football's most exclusive club come to an end. The only person who wasn't there was, of course, the only linebacker, Junior Seau, was elected in his first year on the ballot. Of course, the 12-time Pro Bowlers induction, however, proved bittersweet because he wasn't there physically, coming more than 3 years after he took his own life in 2012. His death and complex fallout from it, with Seau's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the NFL, set the backdrop of the evening's most touching moment. And if you were able to see it, they had Junior Seau's parents, which were very, very, very humble people, very humble folks, as well as Junior Seau's children, his daughter, and his two sons. As a matter of fact, even Jerome Bettis even mentioned Junior Seau in his speech and, giving congratulations to Seau's parents for saying that not only he was a great player, but he was a great person as well, which I also second that. He was a very great player. I didn't know he was a part of a lot of charities. Matter of fact, he's also the first Polynesian, first Pacific Islander to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that's something really big to talk about. Really proud of him. Definitely something worthy of a round of applause, don't you think? Yes, yes. The Hall of Fame rules about players awarded posthumously prevented Seau's daughter, Sydney Seau, from giving a full speech on her father's behalf. Instead, she spoke at length during an extended video tribute, calling her dad, quote, "a perfect match for football, both stubborn, both relentless, competitive, and hard-hitting," unquote. Those hard hits are at the center of the family's legal battle with the league, though Sydney Seau used the stage to instead pay homage to his spirit. She fought back tears when his bronze bust was unveiled and told him, "Congratulations, you made it," unquote, as images of Seau in his prime flashed on the video screen, which was very beautiful, very beautiful. It was an emotional high point of a night that flipped between laughter and tears and back again. Contributors Bill Polian and Rob Wolf paid their respects to the icons who paved their way for their success with it, also members of the 2015 class. Wide receiver Tim Brown led chants of Raiders, more than a decade after his last of his 1,094 receptions. And Mr. Wolf, who hired Mike Holmgren and traded for Brett Favre shortly after taking over in 1991, led off by praising the core that restored the Packers to legitimacy after two decades of mediocrity. Wolf said that there will always be a threat to players of other teams, that if they didn't shape up, they would be traded to Green Bay. We worked hard to eliminate that stigma. And Polian praised Hall of Fame coach Mark Levy for helping him resurrect the Bills after Polian took over as general manager in 1984. The two men put together a foundation of a team that made four straight Super Bowl appearances behind Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, and Andre Reed. There was no wondering for Bettis, who wasn't shy about his desire to follow in the footsteps of other steel greats already in the Hall of Fame. Many were on hand to watch, including Hall of Famers Franco Harris, Mean Joe Green, and Lynn Swann. Several of Bettis' former teammates, including quarterback Beth Roethlisberger and wide receiver Hines Ward, sat in front of the stage as the hall doors finally opened for the player known simply as the Bus. And Bettis said that without you saving that tackle, I still might be on the doorstep, brother. I owe you for life. As he said to Roethlisberger, who preserved Pittsburgh's Super Bowl run in 2006 by tripping Indianapolis Nick Harper shortly after Bettis fumbled near the Colts goal line in the AFC playoffs. And also, last but certainly not least, defensive end Charles Haley was finally put in the Hall of Fame also. He cracked jokes about his disclosure of his battle with depression, which I didn't know he was going through that, but it's good to know. Minnesota Vikings center Mick Tinglehoff didn't say a word instead of letting Hall of Fame teammate Fran Tarkenton speak for him shortly after Tinglehoff's bus was unveiled. He was the Kansas City guard Will Shields, spoke with the same thoughtfulness that made him one of the best linemen of his generation during his standout career with the Kansas City Chiefs. So Will Shields, congratulations to you too. And definitely last but not least, like I said, Charles Haley. He is the only man with a Super Bowl ring with a stump, as a matter of fact. Well, as a player, that is. He is finally in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is the only player, Charles Haley is the only player in NFL history with five Super Bowl rings. Gave a rousing, freewheeling speech that included good-natured jabs at everyone, performer San Francisco owner Eddie DeBartolo, Jr., to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. DeBartolo called the decision to trade Haley to Dallas in 1992 his biggest mistake during his tenure. I can see that. Because Charles Haley, he won three Super Bowl rings with the 49ers, then traded in Dallas, and then Haley won two more Super Bowl rings, giving him five in total as a player. Now Tony Dungy, he has five Super Bowl rings as well, but he won four of them as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers during the 70s, and he won his fifth ring, as a coach, coaching the Indianapolis Colts to their Super Bowl win and so far Peyton Manning's only Super Bowl championship. Well, it's 3:41 p.m. right now. That's all the time that I have. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, remainder of the weekend. And like I said, we're only going to have one show, one broadcast for this upcoming weekend, only for Friday. We're not going to have one for Saturday and Sunday broadcast. No Saturday and Sunday broadcast for next weekend, out of respect for in the memory of Terry Lickford, my classmate at Southwest High School. I just want to say thank you all for listening to us. Thank you for listening to me. All thanks were to you from me and everyone else at the It's Marlo's Radio Show program. Be sure to check us out maybe week after next, unless notified, every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. and every Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. On behalf of Marvella Ivory, the namesake of this show, this is the D-Man, Derek Barrett here, wishing you a wonderful and marvelous Sunday. Hope to see you again next Friday and maybe hopefully the weekend after that. Have a marvelous, marvelous Sunday, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine, all my Making Bib viewers, listeners, and may you have a wonderful remainder and marvelous remainder of the weekend. Take care, everyone. Take care. And rest in peace. Rest in peace, Sherry Lithgow.